We now go to the Windsor, Detroit area, where an alien craft has just landed.
I want you men to surround the craft. Chris, you stay with me.
What are we going to do, Jeff?
We're going in.
What? They're extraterrestrials.
What are you doing here? Why have you come here?
We have come here to listen to 99.1 FM CJAM.
99.1 FM CJAM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
Lapidus, America's number one collector, is the garage sale millionaire, and that's the title of his book and his TV show getting ready to debut on CMT this summer. He's here to explain some of the strategies he used to make his first million from garage sales when he was only in his late 20s and more. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Maybe we can talk about the history of garage sales as we know them. Where did they originate? Do we know any history at all when they kind of started? Or
It came probably several hundreds years ago, where people started like with the barter system of trading. You know, if I needed a tooth pull, I would do it for, you know, I'd give you a chicken to pull my tooth. And then it came to where people had extra stuff, and I think it just flourished to people having little stores on their front lawn, and I think it came just from people having extra stuff and figuring out a way to do a spur of the moment sale and knowing that stuff is still valuable even when they use it. So I think it's definitely been around for at least a couple hundred years.
Now, does a garage sale differ from like a yard sale, a basement sale, any other location, and do you prefer one over the other?
No, yard sale and garage sale are basically the same thing. Some people don't have garages depending on where you are throughout the United States. A yard sale is very common to call it if you're from the East Coast, garage sale in the Midwest, and it's all depends where you are, but it's the exact same kind of sale, however you call it. You know, in England, they call them the boot sales because that's what they call the garages.
Oh, they call them boots.
Yep.
Let's talk a little bit about maybe the block sale. I would think those might be a gold mine, or at least potentially, you know, due to more people involved.
Yeah, you know, anytime people put up signs and plan to do their garage sale with all the neighbors on the block and do a multifamily, those are the ones that are really huge, because I look for those signs because I know that I can, if one garage sale in that neighborhood doesn't have anything, good chance I could, you know, within a 30-second walk, I could be at two others. So those are really beneficial. So I always recommend, if you're planning to have a garage sale, ask your neighbors if they want to get involved. Not only is it more fun, you can delegate different tasks to other people, make a lot more money.
Now, there are probably lots of folks who just collect other people's junk, say, even, and it piles up in their own house or maybe in their own garage. And, whether they have a garage sale of their own one day, who knows, but maybe it'll just get inherited by their kids or something. But what is it that makes people just collect to have everything, you know, like hoarding even?
You know, I would have to say is being this urban tomb raider kind of mentality of thinking that, you know, you can go somewhere within 10 minutes of your home and go through somebody else's stuff, and there could be a treasure just waiting for you to find it. And that is exciting. And when you find that first treasure that you're able to put on Craigslist or eBay, and you buy it for $5 and you sell it for $400, when that first time that happens to you, you're hooked. And that's the excitement. That it's the thrill of the hunt. And I think that's what people are always, that's why they do it.
And I guess maybe some people don't realize that they can do something with that stuff rather than just hang on to everything. And you say there are certain things to look for at a garage sale that can be worth a lot of money. What are some of these things that people maybe should be looking for?
You know, I think a lot of people pass up on it. They think if it's not an antique, not a coin, not an old comic book, that, you know, they're not going to look at it. Well, you know, old stereo equipment has a lot of value. There's stereo equipment that's very collectible and still used. There's a computer, like old routers and stuff like that, that, you know, may look used and it's maybe a year old, but they're still worth $80 to $150 and they're being sold for $5. There's a lot of stuff if you buy them in bulk, like books, that people don't take the time and look at if it's a first edition book. And a lot of times you can sell very easily on Amazon, and you can buy a ton of books for 50 cents each and sell them on Amazon for $10 each. So there's a lot of things that people aren't looking for that they should not pass over.
Now, when you do find an article of value, is it always good to flip it right away, or would you hold on to certain things because their value, you know, may always be rising?
I think that's a great question. If you can, you know, when I talk about in the book, you know, have a garage sale and take that money and then, you know, invest it in estate sales and secondhand stores, there's times of the year that are best to do buying, and then there's times to do selling. Like, we're getting ready to go into Christmas time or the holidays, and this is the best time to sell anything you got that you want gone and at the highest dollar amount. The great time to buy is in January, because people are having those credit card blues and they need to get that credit card paid for, and they're going to do whatever it takes to make money to pay off that credit card or whatever bills that they have from the holidays. So yes, there are times that, you know, August is a very slow time. So there's times you should buy to hold to get ready to sell for different holidays throughout the year.
Places like eBay and Craigslist for selling articles, is one place better than the other, or maybe for selling certain things?
Yes. If it's small and you can ship it well and it's, you know, it's worth some money, eBay is awesome, because you got millions and millions of eyes on from all over the world on eBay. Now, if it's large, like a bedroom set, you're not going to sell that on eBay. You're going to do that on Craigslist. And so size, how quickly do you want your money? eBay does charge a percentage of every sale. Craigslist does not charge anything. So it definitely depends on the value and the size of the item that you're looking to sell.
A little later, we'll get into talking about, you know, kind of starting your own business with this. But I guess some people could actually start a business that's solely online. You wouldn't have to actually have a place to do business or somewhere to actually, you know, have walk-ins to buy your stuff. You could sell it all online, right?
Yeah, and that's what I teach in the book. It's just, you know, if you're one of these people that don't say you don't want to go to garage sales or estate sales, you are, for whatever reason, homeward bound. You can do a lot of your stuff by just having a decent computer and go to all these online auctions. And I'm not talking just about eBay. There are literally hundreds of online auctions that happen every week. And you can go and see stuff that's undervalued, underbid upon, and buy it, bring it in, throw it on eBay, put good descriptions, good pictures, and do that as a full-time living. And that's why I wrote the book, to teach people that either as a second income or as their number one income, it's easy to do, and you don't even have to leave your house, actually. You can set it up where even the postman comes to your door, or UPS will pick up all your shipping and take it from you. So literally, you do not have to leave your house to do this job.
Do you say there's a six-figure income to be had from shopping at consignment stores, estate sales, and I guess even garage sales? But let's talk a little bit about these other areas. Maybe you can tell us the significance of the consignment store.
You know, the consignment store is, a lot of people will sell their clothes and different things at consignment stores, but there are still a lot of people that will sell almost anything at consignment stores, from furniture to antiques to whatever. And there's a lot of times people do not take time to see what the value is. So going to consignment stores and stores like Goodwill and Salvation Army, there are definite treasures to be had at all these stores, and it happens every week. So this is something that you would need to go to every week, because people are always trying to get money and donating and going every week. You'll find new things, and it's an easy way to truly make a full-fledged living down to even, you know, doing storage unit auctions, which I think is a lot of people make a full-time living at that. And if you do it right, you can do very well for yourself.
Estate sales. I've always felt these sales are in more upscale areas or held after a death. Are these things true? Tell us a little bit about estate sales.
Estate sales, you know, a lot of times it is death or the family parent is being moved to a nursing home or into the one of the kids' homes, and they do not need anything in the house. And basically, when you say estate sale, you're saying that everything in the house must go, from absolute pots and pans to dressers to sometimes even clothing. And everything must go, and if you do it right, and if you take the time to price everything in the house and have an idea, and you're not paying somebody to do it for you, you can make a lot of money. If you use an outside source that you hire to price everything and sell everything, well, they get paid on how much they sell. So there's a lot of times that they'll lower the price on something and just get it out of the house so they can make their percentage on it. And these people, sometimes people will have to pay somebody to do it because they don't have the time. But, you know, they're leaving, I'd say they're leaving anywhere from 20 to 50% of the overall money that's made on the table because they have somebody else do it for them and they don't choose to do it themselves.
I usually tend to find estate sales like maybe in the newspaper advertised. Is that something that, would there be such a thing as an online estate sale or only advertised online?
You know, there's a great app. It's called tagsellit.com. And it will list, if you put in your zip code, it will pop up all the garage sales and estate sales, even flea markets in your area. And it's very powerful. It saves you time. When I was featured on Donald Trump's show, What's America's Worth, I used the app, and because they actually pulled me out of Denver, where I'm from, and put me in San Francisco, and I had a certain amount of hours in the morning to buy at garage sales and a certain amount of hours in the afternoon to sell everything I find. So time was of the essence. So I used the app. It's very, very helpful, because you have a certain amount of time in the morning to get to as many garage sales, estate sales as you can before all the good stuff is taken.
What kind of things would you say we should be looking for at estate sales? Is it the same thing with garage sales coming to play here, or is that a little bit different?
You know, estate sales, literally, since everything's for sale, you know, you can find down to historical documents on the wall, some great art, sculpture, silver, antique silverware. So the sky's the limit of exactly what you can find. The question is, it may be over. Sometimes it's overpriced. You need to negotiate to get it down. You know, I talked about that in the book, because you need to be a good negotiator to do well as trying to be a garage sale millionaire, because everything is negotiable. And if you choose to pay full price or close to full price, you're not going to do well. You're leaving money on the table. So estate sales are exciting if you can get a jump on it. Even if there's ever a chance to preview an estate sale, I always recommend to do that, because that will, you know, you can focus in on things, you can do some research, and you can definitely rule it out if there's nothing good, and you can kind of save your time and move on to the next event.
If someone is new to garage sailing, as I'll refer to it as, what are some pointers for them, such as, you know, you mentioned going early before things are bought, maybe hitting garage sales in particular neighborhoods that are better than others, things like that?
With garage sales, I always recommend going very, very early, having your smartphone with you, and knowing that most of the good stuff is taken within the first couple hours of the garage sale. So time really is of the essence. So when you go to a garage sale, you need to focus in. You need to go to ones that, you know, that you kind of drive, you look at. You don't waste time at ones that you don't see anything good. And you kind of get in, buy what you need to buy, ask if there's anything else that you can't see, and then move on, because that's exactly what hundreds of other people are doing. They're getting in, they're getting out, and trying to make that quick find before everybody else.
On with us today is Aaron Lapidus. We're talking about garage sales mainly, or what I've been calling garage sailing, and how you can make big bucks from them, uncluttering your home to make money. How can we do this, Aaron, especially when it's hard to let go of some of the things we really don't use or need anymore? Sometimes, like we talked a little bit about hoarding before.
It's a lot of people will be surprised, because the way I recommend to do this is you need to go into every room, every closet, every desk, the garage, the attic, and open up every box, dump it on the floor, touch everything before you put it back. That's key. You need to touch it. You look at it. Do I use this? When was the last time I used it? Well, this box is dusty and looks like it hasn't been opened for 10 years, and I probably moved it 3 times since I put this item in the box. And so when you do that, you kind of go through your head, and I tell people, if you haven't used it for over a year, good chance you're not going to use it. So that would go in the garage sale pile. You're going to find that you have probably 15 different screwdrivers, probably 4 irons, a couple sewing machines. You know, these are all things that you need to put in the garage sale. And it's very exhilarating when you go through your whole house and you create all this extra room, and then you realize you have a pile of stuff that's going to make you money. And the way I teach people how they can do what I did, it starts with the garage sale. It's very, very important that you clear out, you go through every part of your house, down to something that can, you know, down to the antique pen that you never use anymore, and you sell it. And then you take that money and then you reinvest it in going to secondhand stores and other estate sales and other people's garage sales. And that's the way I did it. But I go through my house once every couple years. I don't do it once a year as I did when I grew up with my mother. But I do it now, you know, every 2-3 years. And it's amazing, even though I go through my house so well those times, I can still find great items to have a garage sale, because in a 1 to 3 years, you're building up new stuff. You may have had a child, and you have all his baby stuff. You may have moved and you had to buy new stuff, and then you box up the old stuff. So it's really good it feels great. You may have a spouse says, honey, we need more space. Well, I would say have a garage sale first and then see if that doesn't solve the problem, because good chance you'll get another room out of it. Good chance you'll move your car that was sitting in the parking space in front of your house. Now you can move it actually in the garage, which is a huge thing for most people, because they just throw all their junk in the garage and their cars can never fit in it. So doing things like this not only will improve the relationship at home, will create more room, and will create an opportunity for them to be like me and make a lot of money from garage sales and estate sales.
You say that our own sales could potentially give us the money to start our own business. Is that fairly easy to create, generate enough money from, a garage sales to be able to start your own business?
Yeah. I think somebody, and I don't care where you live, but if you lived in your home for at least a year, and obviously it doesn't have to be a home that you own, it could be a home that you rent, that down you have collected a lot of junk. If you never had a garage sale and you've moved a couple times, you have enough stuff to make from $1,000 to $3,000 in a garage sale without doing it in one day, pricing stuff, fair, because what's going to happen if you do it right, you're going to have a lot of items. Some of those items you're going to find out that you may have some electronics that you do your research and you find out on eBay that they're worth, $200-$300. Well, you're not going to put that in a garage sale. You're going to sell it on eBay. And so that's all part of how much you make. You go through your house. Not everything will go in the garage sale. Some of the stuff you're going to put on eBay and sell it. And that's how you get to these great numbers of $1,000 to $5,000 for your garage sales, because you discover other things that you can sell in other avenues and make a lot of money.
Tell us about some of the amazing deals you found at garage sales and how they might have led to a big return.
You know, I've found tin toys and old comics. And, you know, when I go, and I teach this in my book, The Garage Sale Millionaire, that, you know, when you buy something for $5, it's not awesome if you're only able to sell it for $10. That's not going to get you to where I am. I try to tell people that they need to buy stuff and they need to incorporate their time. So if it took you 2 hours to find it, buy it, and resell it, you need to be making $40 or $50 an hour. So those are the kind of items that I recommend. A whole bunch of little things is actually going to bog you down. So you need to find some great items. You know, I was just at a big auction, and they were offering this aquarium full of foreign currency and foreign change. And a lot of people, like I told you earlier in the interview, they were, you know, not looking at this. They didn't think it was a moneymaker. It's foreign coins and foreign currency. And so, you know, the auction stalled at $110. And, you know, there was a huge amount of currency. That whole thing weighed probably around 10 pounds worth of currency. And a ton of paper money. And I just thought, that's ridiculous. So I hopped in, I bought it. It cost me, with a buyer's premium, about $140. And I haven't gone through all of it because it's a ton. But where I am now is it's worth over $6,000.
Wow.
And that was coins in there date back to the 1700s. There was currency in there that I was able to use on my next trip that was worth over $400. So, you know, there you can't underestimate things. You have to look at every item, and that's where so many people were there. 50 people were looking at that. 2 people were bidding, and people were not, they were missing the forest. They were not looking at the forest for the trees. They were right. Missing it all. And that, you know, that happened to me 6 months ago, and I love telling the story because it was, you know, nobody got harmed. You know, I didn't take advantage of anybody because I get that question. You know, Aaron, you're an expert. Do you feel like you can take advantage of people? Yes, I can. But, you know, and I try to let people know that some stuff is underpriced. But in turn, people need to know what the value is on things when they're putting them out, and they need to, when they're going to garage sales, they need to look at everything. Any opportunities that they can make money, it doesn't need to be in their wheel well. It doesn't need to be old bamboo rods. It doesn't need to be, you know, old antiques. If you can make a decent profit off of anything, that is stuff that you should be buying. It can't just be what you're an expert in. If your smartphone, if you look up something and you see you can sell it tomorrow on eBay and you can make $150, I don't care what it is. If you can clear $150 and you put in an hour to 2 hours worth of work, that is how you are going to get on your path to being a garage sale millionaire. People see the word millionaire and think they're so far away from it, but a millionaire, it took me, I started when I was 7, and I did it by the time I was 25. I did not have eBay, I did not have Craigslist, and I was young, and a good chunk of it, I didn't have a car. And I was able to do it. Now everybody has those items. And, you know, making $100,000 a year for 10 years, you made $1 million. So it's not as difficult as people make it think it could be. But it takes a way of life. It takes a passion. And so I get all excited when I talk about it because it truly, I did it. I'm not a rocket scientist in any way. I barely was able to graduate college, which was a monumental feat in my parents' eyes. And so, you know, but I had the chutzpah and the drive that I wanted to do it. And I had the passion, which is very, very important.
Tell us about your book, The Garage Sale Millionaire, and what made you decide to write it.
About 3 years ago, when the economy was just tanking, and you know, I have a big art gallery in Denver, and my gallery was tanking because nobody needed to buy fine art, and things were getting pretty bad, and I knew I was going to make it through it, but I was watching people on CNN, people losing their jobs and the hundreds of thousands and people living out their cars, and it was very, very sad, and a lot of friends of mine because during that time my gallery wasn't doing well, and I had to go back to what I knew, and that was going to garage sales and estate sales and buying online and flipping stuff. Had nothing to do with art, but I had to get income. And so people said, Aaron, you should teach what you do to people, and you should write a book. You've always wanted to write a book. And so at the time I was writing a book that taught people about collectibles, and I actually changed it to teaching people how I made all my money and broke it down in chapters from starting as a business, looking at what to stay away from, what to buy, negotiating, a chapter on eBay, and then the final chapter on garage sales. And that's why I wrote the book, is because it was my way of trying to help all these people try to get back on their feet. And it was a very lucky, I felt very good about myself when I was able to write it and see that people can read it and make a good living and everything like that. So if people are interested, it is on my website, The Garage Sale Millionaire. I do have a free newsletter and a garage sale checklist that, when you're having a garage sale, you can figure out all the things you need to do and check them off. And then if they are not familiar with going onto the web, they can always go to either Amazon.com or go to one of their great local booksellers.
And your website address?
TheGarageSaleMillionaire.com. And that has all my articles from the Denver Post. I write for the Denver Post, and all my media articles, so people can learn a lot about what I do and how I make my money, and a lot of great tips on there. So you can spend a good couple hours reading all this great information.
You have a TV show coming out soon on the country music television station, I guess. Tell us about that as well.
Yeah, I'm under contract with CMT, Country Music Television Network, to produce a show called The Garage Sale Millionaire, and it looks like we should be starting to shoot in September, and we're going to be shooting garage sales all over the United States. And who knows, it could be somebody in your neighborhood, and I teach people, and I'll come on in and go through people's houses and help them with values, and then we'll put on a great garage sale and make some great money. And that's what we'll start to be doing here soon, and hopefully it'll air sometime later this year or early next year.
You do speaking engagements as well. Is that on the topic of garage sales, making money from them specifically?
I speak on two topics, how I did it, but then I also talk about I intertwine my downfalls through life. 3 years ago, when I was writing the book, my wife was pregnant, and we almost lost her first and only child. I had a major heart attack, and I almost lost my art gallery. And so that all happened in a month. And that it was all a month to 2 months where that all was coming down on me. And, you know, I talk about overcoming and fighting your way through, you know, knowing that, you can make it. You need this energy to push you through. And, you know, I think I was at my darkest time then, and I think people have to realize they see me now, and people look at and say, God, they're rich, they're famous, they have everything, they have a beautiful wife, they have a great kid, but all great things have a past, and I too have a past, and I like to tell people that there's always an opportunity to do better for yourself and overcome great pitfalls. And so that's what I talk about, not only how I made the money, but what I had to overcome to do it.
Well, I really appreciate you being on the show, Aaron. Thanks for taking the time to share all your information with us.
Well, thanks for giving me the time to have me on this morning. It was a lot of fun, and I can't wait for you to have your garage sale and you give me a call and tell me how you do.
Well, because I want to be on CMT.
Who knows? You could be my first show, but that means I have to go through your house. So be prepared.
All right. If you thought garage sales were just a way to get rid of old items you no longer use, think again. It's big business if you're a collector. And if you're not, you might consider garage selling, a side business. No matter how you look at it, having one or just checking them out is a lot of fun. Definitely check out thegaragesalemillionaire.com. Maybe pick up a copy of Aaron's book, The Garage Sale Millionaire, and watch for his TV show on CMT. Next week, we'll bring out the psychic in you, discover your own psychic abilities with my guest, Dr. Phyllis Sloan, on the next You Talking to Me. Wednesdays at 4 on CJAM.